Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, you guys, and welcome to our June series, Interview with the Witches. I am your host, Aluna, and I'm accompanied by my loyal co-host, Taruk Shaw.
Good evening, everyone.
And per usual for this series, we are opening our armchairs to every one of you. You guys, like being a part of Instagram and just coming into the witch community and tarot community, you guys are, like, beautiful out here. So many diverse practices, eclectic pathworks, and we just really was inspired to make this show or this series to invite all of you to be a part of that and share your experience with us. So tonight, we have a very special guest, okay, our first ever deck collector on the show. I'm sorry, deck creator on the show. Myself and Taruk got a chance to look at this deck. Oh my gosh, you guys, like so full of rich symbolism, so full of rich just mysticism, craft, and yeah, it's just such an honor to have him on the show. So I would like to give a warm welcome to Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz, you are now on the line with us.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the
no
invitation.
Problem.
It should
no
be really
problem.
Fun.
Yes, it shall be. So I'm going to go ahead and call you Brian, since we got acquainted a little bit before.
Great.
So, Brian, so glad to have you on the show. My first question for you, okay, because from what I understand, you have a lot of experience with divination. So how long have you actually studied learning divination, cartomancy, and when did it become a major part of your life?
You know, I've been studying most of my life, but in my early 20s, somebody gave me a bag of runes. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen them, the Ralph Blum set. And I just absolutely got hooked and got into numerology and geomancy and as many different flavors as I could possibly taste.
Wow. So would you say primarily divination is your main practice? Do you dive in witchcraft or perform spells? Or
I'm a very eclectic wizard. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I do lots of magical, my magical background, I kind of came from a ceremonial magic background and delved into a lot of, I was initiated into several Afro-Cuban traditions. And the last 8 years, I've really been focused on energy work and energy transformation and actually making things physical happen in the real world.
The process of manifestation. Interesting. So, Taruk, do you have any questions?
Yes, well, first I want to say, Brian, I am so honored to have you on the show. You know, I did a little bit of research.
Thank you.
And I read, you know, you're an award-winning artist. You know, I read that you have produced and directed films and commercials, you know, that you've taken over 3 million photographs in the past 8 years.
Wow.
You know, huh?
Well, I was saying, wow.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just honored to have someone like you on this show. So my question for you is, you know, I was reading on your tarot deck, you know, and I was seeing that you have, you know, Ifa, it's incorporated into your tarot deck, and you also have runes, like you were saying. You also have things like music incorporated. You know, I want you to speak on the package, because it's called the Fool's. The Fool's package, correct? Or the Fool's Journey, and it's called a Magical Multimedia Electronica Adventure. So I want you to speak on the whole set, because you're bringing a lot to the table. You know, when you buy this deck, you're not just getting a deck of tarot cards. You're getting a whole experience. So I want you to speak a little bit about that, about the experience of the Fool's Journey when the person purchases this deck.
Okay. Well, the deck was the first piece in a really big puzzle. When my teacher sort of challenged me to do my own deck, you know, I didn't really have any idea about selling it at that point. I just kind of took it on as a challenge to do, like, if you were handed the ultimate deck, what would that be? And, you know, there's so many beautiful decks out there already, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they've all borrowed from different traditions, but they all seem to be focused just singularly on whatever tarot expression they were doing. And I thought what I had to bring to the party that could make the deck different was incorporating all the different divination systems into it, so that, like, you can have a regular reading, and then if you want a little fine focus, or you want to look at it from another different perspective, you've got that available to you as well. One of the things that I added to it, I've done numerology for 30 years, and
wow.
I took the names of each of the you know, the first 22 cards are the Fool's Journey, the major arcana cards. And I took all 22 of those, and I transposed the name of the card into its numbers, and those numbers have a corresponding musical note. So each word in itself has an intrinsic musical sequence, and that's what I put on each of the cards. So for each of those cards, I've written an electronica song for it and done a music video with lots of weird little stop
wow.
action stuff.
That's amazing.
They're strange, weird little art films that have, if you take them frame by frame, there's quite a lot of information in them. And so, you know, I just wanted to break it down so that no matter which way you looked at it, you had a way to hook onto mm-hmm. it. And all those layers added up together get you in very, very deep, which is a very exciting thing. One of the other kind of cool things about the deck is that, you know, if I've made it for, you know, people like myself that have read for a very, very long time, but I also included on the side of the design, right on the card itself, some keywords, so that if you just break it out of the thing and you've never looked at a deck of cards, your very first reading, you'd start making some sense of it.
So you would say this deck is for a beginner as well as an advanced reader. Anyone can come
absolutely.
To this deck, right?
Absolutely.
That's really good, because a lot of decks nowadays, I feel, are going for the most extreme. They're trying to incorporate symbolism. They're hieroglyphics. I've seen some decks, and you know, they're kind of scary being so advanced sometimes, especially when a lot of people every day are just coming into divination or just coming into mysticism or spiritual practice. So my next question for you, Brian, you mentioned having a mentor. Now, our last guest, as well as myself and Taruk included, we're a lot of us are solitary practitioners. We are self-taught. We sort of came up on our own. Now, having a mentor, would you say, how was that experience different? Would you say that gave you an edge? You had someone to push you, someone to sort of back you up? It's like you said, he challenged you to make this deck. So what would you say you've learned from a mentor, and what do you think the difference is between the two?
Well, you know, I'm always questing for more information and to get better and to reach another level. And that's one of the miraculous, beautiful things about magic, is that you can never learn at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really, really had the desire to push as hard as I could. And I felt like somebody that was really knowledgeable and somebody that was super experienced and had skills I didn't have would be really, really, really helpful. And, you know, when you put your heart and soul's desire out there, and it really is about your heart and your soul, you know, those things tend to manifest. And I've known this guy for about 15 years now. And
wow.
I'm happy to be in the chain. And, you know, he has a teacher, and his teacher has a teacher, and I have students, and my students have students, and it's a really wonderful little
So where does this network erupt from? Are you a part of a community? Do you have people just sort of write you on Facebook and say, hey, teach me, be my Yoda, you know? How do you say that process of initiation comes about?
Well, you know, when you put your heart's desire out there and you're asking for the perfect teacher for you,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
the universe will take any way that it needs to manifest that for you. You just need to be aware and prepared for when the opportunity shows up.
Spoken,
you know,
like a true wizard, yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's as many solutions as there are stars in the sky. And,
nice.
And it happens differently for every single person.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's a standard route. You know, you get to walk on the same path with people sometimes, but every magical person, it's their own solitary journey.
Absolutely.
Of self-discovery, you know?
Absolutely. So cool. Taruk?
Okay, so I kind of want to talk a little bit more about your deck, because I'm so just enamored by your process. You know, I want to reiterate, I don't know if it was mentioned, that you are self-published. Like, you did this yourself, you know, and your deck your deck is also sold out quite a number of times. You know,
that's
for,
true.
For
I'm getting ready
who,
to release a fourth edition.
See, look at that. For
wow.
Somebody who's self-published. So a self-published person, you know, you are an entrepreneur and you've sold out many times. So this brings me to my question, you know, like, how do you do it? Even your pictures, because a lot of them, you know, are beautiful smoke pictures of incense smoke. And I can even see some images of spirits and humans, even animals. I think the Hierophant really stood out to me because I
right.
saw an elephant in there. I saw an elephant in
right.
the smoke. And, you know, and then I looked at the definitions, because I also like how you said you have a lot of keywords, which I appreciate, you know, for you to have them there, because that way a person can always look at them, you know, they don't remember, and, you know, you see wisdom there. You see a lot of traits that the elephant is known for. So for that spirit to come out in the smoke of the elephant, you know, it's really powerful. So your deck is very spiritual and powerful, and there is a spirit in those cards, especially in your deck. So I want to reiterate the question is, what was your process as far as, you know, publishing your own tarot deck? You know, you took your own, the pictures yourself, you took the pictures, you know, you did all of that yourself. So what was the process as far as, like, the photography and publishing and all of that for people out there who are entrepreneurs as well, and, you know, they're trying to find a way to put themselves out there and be as successful as you have been on your own?
Well, I think the first step for it is to decide what kind of system you want to use. And you know, I don't think there's a need for another copy of the Rider-Waite deck, you know. I think if you're going to put your deck out there and you want to have some success with it, you've got to find something, you know, unique that people can latch onto that they haven't seen anywhere else before,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the style of the photography. Well, first of all, what's kind of cool about this is that this deck, the photography started on the winter solstice and finished to the day on the spring equinox. And
oh, wow,
it was a really, really wild journey. The first 22 cards, the major arcana cards that are the really intense archetypes, and they all have personalities to me. And over the years, I've gotten to know them, and it's become like my little family. So as I started doing one of the things I've always loved to do is manifest. You know, there's so many entities that exist with us at the same time, and
mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed manifesting those in different kinds of incense. Dittany of Crete, a really beautiful copal, you know, that really gives them a wonderful medium to show up in. So after I decided that would be the vehicle for the cards, I thought it was perfect, because what I did was take each incense that was appropriate to that particular card and spend a good amount of time pouring my energy and intent and everything I knew about the card into the incense, lighting it up and then firing away until either my solar plexus exploded and went, yeah, you got it, or I was completely out of energy and collapsed.
Nice.
So,
well,
okay, so the whole
go ahead. Oh, okay. No, so you speaking about working with entities and working on the other side, who would you say you're more aligned with? Because, you know, there are a lot of us out here that we, you know, some of us are more affinitive towards the darker energies. Some of us are more towards the angelic beings. So what was your initiation into working with the spirits, and who would you say you call upon most in your workings?
Well, you know, I kind of adopt the chaos magic position that everything is there for you to use.
Okay.
And you know, I don't really deal with demons. I kind of try to stay to the light area wherever possible. As a matter of fact, I just got through doing a new deck that's an angel oracle. Of 72 angels, and that was a really awesome experience too. But I don't often call upon external energies to manifest my spells or to make my work happen. I like to talk to them and commune with them and get information from them, but I use my own energy to drive those things. And I think that's really the pure way to go. After I was initiated into Ifa, and that's a really, really beautiful system, and four or 500 different Orishas that each have their different skills, and you can call on them, and that's a really wonderful way to work for some people. But I found that I liked using my own God inside me to make those things happen. And things came out much purer and more effective, and my focus and intent got sharper and crisper. And that's kind of the way I roll with that.
Nice. Okay, so now taking on to another question would be, what advice would you give someone, because you have a lot of experience, you've actually gone through the ceremonial initiation, you've had a mentor. So what would you say to someone just starting out for magic, looking through the library right now, trying to find a book on Is Magic Real? What would you say to them?
Wow, is magic real?
Well, I get people asking that
all the
time.
I have a great book to recommend. It's by an author named Ron, and that's spelled R-A-W-N, Clark. And he wrote a book called The Bardon Companion, where he took one of Franz Bardon's books and broke it down into really tangible information that you can use. The first 10 pages, if you bought it only for the three exercises in meditation, it would have been worth the effort. But that book is about moving energy and how to move energy inside you and how to gain control over the elemental energies and all the things you need to actually do to manifest things and to bring, you know, it seems like a lot of the focus for people now is trying to go up and elevating. But that's not where things happen on the earth. So I like to go up, but I love also to make it manifest, you have to bring it down here to this plane.
Deep.
Wow.
Definitely.
Okay, so I have another question concerning your tarot deck. I read online that, you know, they were saying that it's more related to the Toss deck or Thoth deck. Do you agree with that?
You know, I cut my teeth on the Rider-Waite deck. Read with that for a few years, and then I used the top deck for most of my reading before I did my own deck. I have experience with a lot of other decks, the Hermetic deck, the Golden Dawn deck, and But the Toth deck, first of all, the artwork in the Toth deck, Frida Harris gets way too little credit, the artist that did that with Crowley. And it's just a magnificent piece of work from an artistic standpoint, which really gets all over me. And then just the way the information works with the astrological associations, and it just really spoke to me for a long time. So I have things in my deck that pay homage to that. I didn't copy that deck, but they're definitely significant influences. One of which is, one of my favorite things about the Toth deck is that there are three Magus cards in the Toth deck. And I wound up, his recommendation was just to pick the one you like and use that one. But I sort of incorporated the three Magus cards into my deck, but each one of them has a different association to my body, mind, and spirit. So that was kind of a cool thing. In answer to your question, I was very, very much influenced by that deck.
Yeah, and I also want to mention that the court cards, you know, you have the princess, the prince, the queen, and the knight, and the suit are the wands. Yeah, the wands, the swords, the cups, and the discs. And for the discs, you have these beautiful orbs, you know, they remind me of just crystal balls, like scrying balls, which you're just able to gaze and see, you know, spirit
right.
and just manifest. I mean, it just blew me away.
You know,
honestly.
What the spheres actually represent, this is kind of cool, is the flat pentacle, but spinning. So it's like a disc in motion.
Nice.
And I also have a question for you. As far as like the smoke, do you have a relationship with incense as far as, like, working with magic and summoning? Well, you don't summon spirits that often, but have you?
Well,
I
summon spirits all the time. I just don't ask them to do my work for me.
Okay. Definitely.
They participate.
So do you work with smoke?
They participate. And say again?
Do you work with the smoke? Like, do they come to you in the smoke, or do you use to see them?
The smoke is really great for a materializing medium, so that there's something substantial enough for you to photograph.
Mm.
You know, when they just show up, when I'm in my astral vision, you know, that's an example of having to bring the energy down to this plane, because when I'm in my astral vision and I leave my space here and I go to that frequency and explore there, you know, they're all visible there. There doesn't need to be any smoke. But when they come here, it's a very useful thing to be able to have something substantial enough to get to read and get on film.
What would you say is more powerful or easier for you to do? Would it be to travel astrally there or for them to come here? Which do you find is better?
You know, I don't think either one of them is better. I think they both have their place. And, you know, if you're just going to explore and you want to go travel around somewhere, leaving is really, really, really wonderful. But if you're looking for some information or you just want to hang out in the garden for a while and talk about plants, you know, it's great to bring them here.
Too, right? Okay, well, now we get to the second half of our show. And Brian, this is our Wednesday show where we regularly would do a midweek reading. So would you do us the honor for our midweek forecast by giving all of us a reading?
Okay. No problem. Here, let me shuffle up a little bit here.
And you will be using the Wizard of Oz deck, of course.
Absolutely. You know, I keep it right at my right hand on my desk. I probably pull a card 30, 40, 50 times a day.
Nice.
And I really haven't read, you know, I mean, how could you get something that's, you know, divination, every system of divination is about teaching your guardian angel, your higher self, whatever you want to call that, learning a language between you and it so that it can communicate to you. And so, you know, you could use anything. You could use rocks. You could use pennies. You could use crayons. Anything that you use and you consciously, with intent, assign a symbolic meaning to and use that enough so that you form that language with them works. You know,
yeah,
so how could something that, you know, came from inside me, how could I get any better? You know, it's really kind of a cool thing. You know, but one of the interesting things about the smoke is that it's very, it invites the user to find their own path through it. Like, I see really specific things in it. And at this point, I've looked at these cards thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Yet, just on Friday, I was doing a reading for a friend. It was a really serious subject. And I'm looking at the layout of cards, and all of a sudden the cards look different. And I'm seeing different shapes and different images and different faces and different information. And so each one of them, I think, really lends itself to responding to the emotional content that you bring. And for every single person that looks at it, to form that same symbolic language with their higher self as well.
Well, that's beautiful.
I'm shuffling away.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. I'm kind of a stickler for at least 7. All right, one more. All right. The very first card I look at is when I cut it, look at what the top stack is that you're going to set aside. I look at what the undercut card is for that, and it kind of sets the tone for the reading. And in this particular case, it was the Magus of the Spirit.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of intense considering.
They're coming through.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm going to do a 3-card reading. It's not a reading that is past, present, future, but all 3 cards are sort of consolidated into a single message using elemental dignities and the 3 cards themselves. So here we go.
Whatever your style is, bring it to the table.
All right. The first card is the Priestess. Occult Secrets. Oh, the second card is the 3 of Cups. Welcome to the party.
Wow.
Let's have a celebration.
Shout out to Triple Palace Tail this evening. Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And the last card is the 3 of Pentacles.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Recognition for hard work and master craftsman manifesting. So you have the Priestess, who's the holder of all the occult secrets, and my favorite card in the deck. I have a long running love affair with the Priestess.
Don't we all, as readers, right?
Right.
Yes.
What I think is kind of interesting about this reading in particular of tonight and just all the energies manifesting together is, you know, it's like we said in the beginning when starting this series, you know, reaching out with the 3 of Chalices and communion amongst diversity. That's definitely what I see a lot of times in the 3 of Chalices, you know, 3 different people coming together and sharing and that collaboration being harmonious. With the 3 of Pentacles, you know, that's about like teamwork. So not only is it working on an emotional level, like all of us get along, but, you know, we all bring something worthwhile and practical to the table. And the occult secrets with the High Priestess is definitely on point. So,
and the Magus came out too, right? Magus came out.
The Magus was the very first, was the undercut card that didn't really count as part of the reading, but it sort of set the tone for what the common reading usually is.
It's very spiritual and magical. Very spiritual and magical.
Yeah.
All
three of those cards are elementally dignified, so they're amplified even more. Really wonderful little reading.
Because of the Magus.
No, because of the like the priestess, even though she's,
right, okay,
you know, the planet's the moon, she's still kind of a water card. The Three
yes,
of Cups is a water card, and
yeah,
the Three of Pentacles is an earth card, which is still meshes with that. So
mm-hmm.
all of those elementally drive that energy together instead of it being conflicting. It just works out great.
Do you have a question?
Yes, Brian, when I was doing my research on you, I read that you're an avid stone or crystal collector. Like, you like collecting, you know, stones, like quartz, amethyst,
yeah,
things of that. Yeah. So can you speak on that and your use of stones? What do you use them for? What do they mean to you? You know, can you speak on that a little bit?
Well, you know, My focus is really energy work and actually projecting energy. And crystals are a fabulous conductor. They hold a charge for a long time. You can pour energy into them with intent, and it'll stay there and work with you for a very, very long time. Each, you know, I'm a guy that believes the structures of the faces at the top of the termination, you know, they have different meanings. Like, there's some that are channeling crystals, there are some that are generator crystals, there are some that have little windows in them that let you go in really, really, really deep. There's some that have little triangles on the surface that look like little hieroglyphs in some way that are referred to as record keepers, and many times I've found really old knowledge in those. So I think that they have a myriad of uses, besides the fact that they are just some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I'm really a fanatic. I used to go out to, I haven't been for a while, but I used to go out to Mount Ida, Arkansas, and mine my own crystals, and that
wow,
just is the most amazing experience ever, to see them start to come out of the mud, and wow, just really, really beautiful. And
so
I'm a fanatic about all kinds of different crystals, though. So aquamarines and, you know, you name it. I go there.
So how many crystals would you say you actually own? Over 100?
Oh, easily.
Easily. I'm probably getting up there with my deck collection, because I do own a lot of decks. I'm like really a deck fanatic, and on Instagram it's really hard because you always come across someone creating a new deck, or they have a new deck, or the deck that just came out, or a deck you've never seen before. So I definitely share in that fanaticism.
Me too.
Okay, so it seems like we come to the ending of our show. Listen, Brian, I want to thank you so much. Oh, also, would you like to tell everyone where they can find this magical deck? I mean, we've been talking about it all night, but where can they look and purchase this deck?
Well, right now, the only place you can buy it is on my website, which is Wizard of Oz, and that's Wizard with a Y, .com. And
nice.
Shortly, my new Angel Oracle will be out. I did it in the same smoke technique and channeled all the 72 angels of the Shemha Mephorish, and it's a fitting follow-up to this one.
Well, definitely congratulations on all the success. I aim to make my own deck someday, so watch out, I'm coming.
You come on. If you need an objective pair of eyes along the way, I know I treasure those myself. You're way welcome.
I'm going to hold you to that.
You bet, for sure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, no problem. It was an honor. It was an honor. Thank you.
It really was. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
And we want to let you guys know some last-minute info. So this Saturday, right? Yeah, Saturday is our full moon free reading show. Yes, we will be opening up the lines to do free readings for you guys. You already know what time it is over here. So look out for that this weekend. And our next week, Wednesday show, our chair is open again. So if you have listened in, we wanted to thank you for spending your evening with us. And if you want to be featured on our show, just give us a heads up. You know, we don't buy in the inbox. You can always write us, right? And with that, Taruk, do you have anything else you'd like to say to everyone before we go?
Well, you guys can follow me and Aluna, Aluna at Aluna Tarot on Instagram, and myself at Taruk Vishal, okay? And I just want to thank everybody for listening to our show. Thank you for all the support, all the followers. You know, you guys mean the world to us. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And I can't wait for Saturday's show.
I can't even. So we wish you all a good night.